Love you. Appreciate you. Good to see my cousin Darren here. He's an old West Virginia boy. Amen. We're glad to see him. I ain't seen him in a long time. And glad to see everybody. I get naming names, we'll get in trouble. But we're so glad you're here and some visitors. And I feel like God has sent me with a word from heaven. I was going to get somebody to drive the truck home, just drive it out to me and pay their way and take them D.C. or something. And I felt I wanted to come out here. I felt like I needed to come this one night. And you may think I'm crazy. I'm nothing special. I feel like God spoke to my heart, and I want to help you. Going to get out of the way, not going to hold you long, but again, we're so glad to be here. Thank you for the offering. I told Sam, don't take an offering. Just let me come and just be with you and see you in this church again. Just one of the most exciting churches. This church is my vision, and this is what I dream of having in Martinsburg, and I'm working in that direction. And it just excites me what you guys are doing here, and I want to do what I can for the Lord. Amen. I don't know, amen, but it's what I feel like singing tonight. Y'all help me. Hallelujah. If it's a foreign battlefield where I finally find your will, Lord, then that's where I long to be. In the desert without a drink, on some old ship that's about to sink, Lord, I'll go if you just speak to me. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart aches to know. Speak the word, Lord, I'll be what you'd have me to be. Speak the word, Lord, your servant will go. There's been times that I've complained when life rubbed against the grain. I recall, Lord, those times you took me to my knees. And there's one thing that I must do, for I owe it all to you. For it was you, Lord, took my cross of Calvary's hill. Speak the word, Lord, my ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord, my heart aches to know. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, that's what I want to do, don't you? Amen. The book of Philippians tonight, chapter number 3. Amen. I miss seeing my good friend, Brother Curtis, tonight. Y'all get on him, all right? Amen. Tell me when he was working, he should have took off. Come see me. Amen. Good to see you here in the Lord's house, others. But let's see what God will do for us. Amen. I am nothing. I mean that. You, those of you that don't know me, I'm just telling a little bit about the work for those that do know. And giving you a little update, but I'm not trying to brag. I'm sure, Lord God, I ain't even scratched the surface of what I need to do for the Lord. Amen. We're just telling you a little bit about what God's doing. Philippians chapter number, amen, chapter number 2. Now listen, you need to stay with me in this message. We get to the end of this. God's again showed me some things that my terminology just turned me sideways. And I'm nothing special, but I'm telling you, I've cried over this and cried over this, and it may not do nothing for you, but it's turned me sideways. And I preach it to my home church. If you think I'm picking on somebody here or picking on you, you're not that special. Hallelujah. Wore out my church with it, so. Verse number 25. Verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. Heavenly Father, help me to preach tonight, Lord. God, I want to help somebody. I'd like to preach a message that would change someone's life forever. Change their attitude forever. I'd like for somebody here, God, who feels like they're not doing anything for you. They feel like they're inadequate, God, to realize that we all have a job to do. God, someone who feels discouraged, God, they would be encouraged tonight to realize that they're doing more than they realize, Lord. Help me to say it like you want me to say it. Nothing more, nothing less in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'm going to preach for a few minutes tonight on Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. When I preached this at my church, my assistant pastor got his phone out and he Googled the pronunciation just to check on me. But I was hooked on phonics. As a kindergarten ACE, I know about the aging ape. I sang a few songs to Bubba last night. And the nervous nightingale and all those things. And he found out that it is pronounced Epaphroditus. But as I looked at this portion of scripture, the apostle Paul loved the church at Philippi. He loved the church at Philippi. From his writings, they were one of the only churches. Well, matter of fact, you can turn to chapter 4, and I started to read, and I said, I'll hold it for a little later. But he said in verse number 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And as we read about this church at Philippi, we realize that they were a giving church. They were a supporter of the Apostle Paul. And at one time, they were the only church.
that was supporting him in the beginning of his ministry, perhaps when many were still wondering, was he really called of God? That man that had caused the death of so many Christians and consented to the death of the great man Stephen. They throw the coat at his feet. Amen. We find here that the Apostle Paul, amen, was helped by the church at Philippi to help others. But we find a link between the church at Philippi, amen, and the Apostle Paul, Brother Sam. There was no express mail. There was no Pony Express. Amen. There was no postal service. There was no UPS. There was no FedEx. There was Epaphroditus. Hallelujah. Epaphroditus was the man that carried the offering. Amen. When they received the offering. Now how are we going to get this to Paul across the ocean? And Epaphroditus raised his hands and said, I'll take it to him. And he carried the money. He was a man that had to be trusted by the church. But there was something else that took place. Amen. When he got to Paul, Paul said, I want to write a letter back to this young church at Philippi. And I want to tell them how to live and instruct them and keep them out of hell. Amen. How am I going to get the letter to the church? Amen. Epaphroditus said, I'll take it. Hallelujah. I'll take that blessed holy letter. Amen. And I'll take it back to the church. Amen. And I'll share it with the people. Amen. The Bible said, and I read this and I'm telling you, I sat in my office and I wept. Amen. And Paul, amen, said, I'm wanting to come to you. And he said, but instead I'm going to send Epaphroditus. He said, because he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. And he said he was sick. Nigh to death. He almost died for the gospel's sake. Amen. He said, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrows. I come to tell you what the holiness movement is needing. Is not some more people seeking the limelight. Amen. Not another preacher that wants to preach our camp meetings. Amen. But somebody who will be an Epaphroditus who will give their lives for the cause of the gospel. Amen. We got enough. Amen. That want to be out in the forefront. We got so many that want to be the big dog, Brother Mike. But what the holiness movement is needing is some men and women who said, I'll get under a load. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I don't have to have the light. I just want to be a wheel in this machine called the gospel. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, hallelujah. I know what Paul's talking about. Amen. 3 weeks to 2 months ago, amen, I had my first funerals in my little pioneer church. I preached some suicides and jail ministry related deaths and juvenile, but not in my church, Brother Sam. And on a Saturday, a little 83-year-old woman in my church, and we all got to go, fell over unexpectedly, had an aneurysm. And I preached her funeral. Then 4 or 5 weeks later, a little lady by the name of Miss Ellie Hunter, if you had anything bad to say about my church or about me, you better find somebody beside Sister Hunter. For 2.5 years, she prayed that God would send a holiness preacher to Martinsburg. Amen. For 2.5 years, she prayed that God would start a holiness church in her town that had none. Come on now. Amen. When God sent me there and God connected us through miraculous circumstances. Amen. She was one of the most faithful, loving members and praying members of my church. She never sang a special. Amen. You never heard a peep out of her. Amen. But when I know on a Sunday, amen, she got sick. Amen. Her husband called me and said, Brother, she's gone. I'm in a rescue squad. We're on the way, but it's over. They shocked her back to life for a few minutes and she died again there in the emergency room. And another funeral. Well, then Brother Lee Sly, who got saved in my church, amen, had a ponytail to his waist, a backslid holiness preacher's son, Brother Mike, sound familiar? 68 years old, been out of church since he was 22, a gang member and a drug dealer, walked down the aisle, got saved. And Brother Sam, he come down sick and he's sick to tonight, but he's doing better. Amen. There ain't an hour of the night that I can't call him at 70 years old. He'd do anything I asked him. Amen. Every now and then he'll sing a special, but most of you never hear. And he come down deathly sick. He laid on the operating table for 6 hours the other day. The blood flowing out of him fast as they could put it in him. And I know what Paul said. I said, God, you can't take another one. I can't bear right now. Paul said, lest I have sorrow upon sorrows. That's how much Epaphroditus, amen, meant to the Apostle Paul. I want to know tonight, how much do you mean to this church? How much do you mean to this preacher? If you was to come down sick tonight, would it be a relief to the pastor? Amen, although he could never say it. If you said, I'm leaving tonight, would he secretly say, thank God, now we can have a better move of God. A hindrance will be leaving. Or would he say, no, I got to have you. You're part of the great God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you an Epaphroditus? Amen. Great God, are you a help to the work of God? Amen. Are you a hindrance to the moving of the Holy Ghost? Woo. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just asking you a question tonight. Amen, Brother French, you pastor over in Mexico, right? You know what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, there's been some that I asked to leave. You did? Yeah. I'm trying to have revival and I don't have time for a bunch of knuckleheads that's trying to tear down everything I'm trying to build. Oh, you're arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm trying to have a move of God. Amen, Apostle Paul wrote a letter and said, put that fornicator out. He said, put him out. You want to have revival? Put him out. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Great God, I feel the Holy Ghost to preach tonight. Now stay with me because it's going to get good here after a while. Amen. But I want to tell you something, Michael. Amen. Your name may never be in bright lights. Amen. You may never be famous across this world. Amen. But I want to tell you something, son. Amen. You need to be a backer, Brother Sam and Sister Beth. Amen. Well, he can say that boy right there. We'll do anything. I feel the Holy Ghost to preach. Let God know where you come from, Brother Mike and Brother Jody. Amen. Don't dare never let to be a question mark in your life. That the pastor knows I can count on him. Great God, Brother Miles, I like to be an Epaphroditus. Amen. To where my preacher, amen, where the church, amen, said, great God, they help carry the load. Amen. They're part of the work of God. Lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight. Yatama. Oh, don't everybody shout at once. Reach for your seatbelt. Hallelujah. Can your pastor go to bed at night knowing where you stand? Or does he toss throughout the night not knowing what kind of stunt you're going to pull next? There's a hot place in hell for people like that. Well, I'll have you know I'm a preacher. I'll have you know I'm a deacon. I'll have you know you'll fry in hell right along with a whole bunch of other preachers and deacons and song leaders and Sunday school teachers if you're not doing what God called you to do. Now, I know Brother Mike's a deacon here, right? Who else is a deacon? I need to get them lined out here because not going to straighten them out. I just need to know who they are before I get in trouble here. Raise your hand, deacon. Don't be scared. Hallelujah. All right. Ooh, we got two. How many we got, Brother Sam? Amen. Three. All right. Now, y'all sit up straight here now. Hallelujah. Reach for your seatbelt there. Some good brothers, all three of them. Amen. I don't believe they give Brother Sam a minute's trouble, but you hear what I'm fixing to tell you. Across this country, deacons have got it in their mind that God called them to keep the pastor straight. But I'm going to explain to you something to all of you tonight, you good deacon brothers. God never ever called you to keep a pastor straight. The honor of a deacon is a high calling. But there was a problem. The preachers were having to waste all their time waiting on tables and taking care of widows. And so they said, we're going to get us some deacons. And what are they going to do? They're going to help take care of the widows. Oh, you just wanted to resign right now, didn't you, Brother Mike? Hallelujah. No. So we're going to get some deacons. They're going to help the preacher. They're going to take the load off of him. Huh? When that drunk walks in the back door and wants to make a big scene, pastor ain't got to worry about it. He got three deacons going to stand up and say, if you got a problem, it stops right here with us. We don't need to go to the pastor. We'll take, oh, y'all help me preach, are you? Huh? Amen, good brothers here, and I mean that from my heart, but across this country, amen, deacons have let that power go to their head, amen, to where they feel like, amen, if they need to worry about how much money the preacher gets, their main goal in life is to make sure his car's not too nice, amen, that he doesn't live in a house that's too nice, and that he's the poorest one in the church, amen, if you really love your preacher tonight, you'll want him to dress the best, amen, walk the best, drive the best, and live in the best, and if he's a man of God, he won't let it go to his head, he won't buy $1 million home. He's not going to buy him a jet. Amen. And if he ain't a man of God, you're in trouble anyway. It all works together. Y'all help me preach tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Epaphroditus and Paul had a bond. They trusted one another. Paul trusted him with his letters. The church trusted him with the money. They had a bond and a unity. Amen. And it worked. Amen. And we've got the scriptures tonight. Amen. Because a man, Brother Sam, was trustworthy. Amen. Stood in the trenches and done what he was supposed to do. Woo! Your Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher, is an offshoot of this church, amen. You shouldn't be teaching anything that contradicts what your pastor preaches. Huh? You should not be promoting anything, your little personal agenda, when you know the pastor feels it. You back him up 100%. And if you disagree in an area, you shut your mouth. Hallelujah. Keep it to yourself. You'll help me preach a while. And if you're not a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, and I'm not going to preach on Sister Bobby, she's too good. Hallelujah, the song leader. Amen, but if you ain't, now I'm going to get the rest of you. How come you've purposed in your heart to make yourself a bigger nuisance to this preacher as you can? Don't you think he's got enough on his plate trying to feed the homeless? Amen, bring them in. Come on now. How come you gotta move it in your home? Amen. Wear the clothing that's so provocative. How come you gotta push the button? Run the limits. Try to get away with everything you can get away with. Instead of saying, preacher, if you got anything to worry about, don't worry about me. I got your back. Hallelujah. What we need is some more men and women like Epaphroditus. That say, hey, preacher, let me know if you're backing up. Amen. Cause I'm right behind you. And I don't want you to run over me. And come I shut you. And there ain't no knife in my hand. Amen. I've got you in the closet. I've got you on the street corner. I've got you in an old hypocrite. Tries to run you down. I got your back, pastor. Amen. And we get some men and women like that. We can reach this community like never before. What we need is some men and women like Epaphroditus. Woo! I want to be careful. Because again, at the end of this message, I'm going to preach a commendation to this church and you people for you're doing more than 99% of holiness churches are doing. I thought about my assistant pastor was at his job one day. Amen. Some of you know him, Brother Ryan. He's been here one time, a long time ago. I've got one of the finest men that's got my back. He was at his job one day and an old whoremonger, backslid preacher's kid walked up to him and that's exactly what he is. Well, I like Brenny said, but... That's the last word he got out of his mouth. And witnesses told me that my assistant stuck his hand up. Nobody there to listen. Nobody there to see. He said, there'll be no, we don't need to talk about that anymore. That's my pastor. And I don't need to hear anything you got to say. Now, Brother Miles, I'm not perfect. Brother Miles, you can dig up stuff on me. Brother Miles, but my assistant said, I'm not interested. Huh? I know he's got a burden. I know he's giving it all he's got. I know he's living on Queen Street and they're shooting everybody up and they're stealing. They've keyed his car. I come home from church the other day and the trunk of my Lincoln Town Car says Maya across it with a big rock in big bold letters from my little kindergarten neighbor that practiced her spelling on the trunk of my town car. Whew. The good news is I only paid $500 for it. Hallelujah. I don't think it affected the value too much. Are y'all listening to me? And he reached a hand out and he said, not interested. Epaphroditus, you didn't talk bad about Paul around Epaphroditus, Brother Sam. And you didn't talk bad about Epaphroditus around Paul either. Someone might have said, Big Mike, well, he's probably sick because that's a judgment of God. And Paul said, you need to watch your mouth. For the cause of Christ, he's nigh unto death. Trying to get the letters back to the church. That's why he's sick.
He's been out there on the ocean in severe weather. Hey man, he's been out there in the shipwreck and the storms and the sea. Hey man, you read about Paul being in the shipwreck. Hey man, wonder what Epaphroditus could have told us about stormy weather and long dark nights on the sea. Oh great God. Are you still driving that bus? Hallelujah. If you're not, you better get back to it. This message is going to get a hold of it. No, I'm just teasing. Hallelujah. You listen to me tonight. Hey man, what are you doing for God? I don't know. Brother Sam ain't told me. I didn't come here tonight with an agenda. I come here with a burden on my heart. I done preached it to my church. Amen. What we got to have, brother, you could say, look, I don't need to listen to that whippersnapper. I've been saved longer than he's been born. But that kind of attitude ain't going to get us nowhere. Amen. That's not going to keep your children and grandchildren in church. Every one of us can find an excuse. I'm a preacher. I'm this or that. Amen. But if you can't get under subjection, amen, to the man of God, you never was called in the first place. Y'all ain't going to help me preach. I'll preach anyhow. Amen. Oh, amen. Epaphroditus. Let me preach here quickly. Amen, brother Paul. Amen. Had five things to say about this man. The first thing he said is, he is my brother. Oh, how many knows tonight when you're really saved? Amen. That the people you go to church with are closer than your own blood kin. Amen. Oh, come on now. You know why? You don't have nothing in common with their drinking. You don't have nothing in common with their drugging. And when you come to church, amen, you say, brother, but I feel guilty. I love my brothers and sisters more than I love my own blood. It's okay. There's a bond that Christ puts in us. And when Paul said, he is my brother, he meant every word he said. I'm about to preach a little while. God, help me. Amen. You on the outs tonight? You on the outskirts? Get to this altar and pray through until every person in this house is like your blood kin. Then you'll take up for them. Then you'll pray for them. Then you'll have a burden for them when they become like a brother to you. He is my companion in labor. Epaphroditus was a worker. If you're not careful, you'll sit around and feel sorry for yourself, Brother Miles, because you was over baking some sandwiches last night. Brother Miles, I'm not saying it ain't a sacrifice. Brother Miles, you got a calling on you to be a helper, a companion in labor. Oh, Sister Jen, appreciate what you're doing in that school. One of the most thankless jobs in the world. The only person that gets more complaints is probably the sound man. Hallelujah. That's probably the most thankless job, that and whoever runs a thermostat, because you can't never please everybody. Huh? Sister Jen, if a little child would grow up and get a call to preach in their life and preach the gospel, it may have never happened. If you had went to a public school, they may have married the wrong child. And there'll be some that'll criticize you. There'll be some that'll run you down. There'll be some that try to tell you how to do it. And while they do nothing, but I'm going to tell you, hold your head up, girl, because there's nothing, there's no higher calling than teaching kids a Christian education when they're teaching them we come from monkeys in our public schools. They're teaching them that it's all right to make babies at 7 and 8 years old. There is no higher calling. You'll never have your names in the bright lights. You'll never be famous in this world. Amen. But there may be a preacher travel this country and win thousands. It would have never been if you hadn't taught. I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. A monitor, a volunteer that said, I'll help, I'll work. Are y'all understanding me tonight? We always want to see the big lights. We always want to see Paul the Apostle. Amen. But there would have been so much less accomplished if it hadn't have been for Onesiphorus, who oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul was in prison. His hands were bound. He could not deliver the letter. It didn't matter how powerful the letter was. If it didn't get to the church, it was no good. But if Epaphroditus made sure, amen, that the missing link was filled in and the work of God was done. Lift your hands and give him praise tonight. Woo. He is my companion in labor. Somebody's got to vacuum the carpet. Somebody's got to mow the grass. Somebody's got to paint the walls, Darren. Somebody's, great God, has got to drive the bus. Amen. As much as Brother Sam would like to, he cannot do everything. Somebody's got to help him. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, we got to go a little farther here. Have y'all had enough? Can I preach on for a few more? He is my fellow soldier. He's a fighter, Brother French. Fighter. But he was on the right side. We got a lot of fighters in the Holiness Movement. The problem is they don't know who the enemy is. The enemy's not the preacher. Well, he steps on my toes. That's because he loves you. 8 months ago, I took a nap on a Sunday. I thought y'all'd be shouting by now. I was bad when I was evangelist. I'm real bad now because I don't care at all anymore. I didn't care then. Glory to God. I'm bad now. I got a church pastor to go home to. I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I rolled over and I woke up from a nap on a Sunday. You believe in taking a nap on Sunday, don't you? I kind of got a personal conviction about that myself. That nursing home kind of cuts in on it, you know. Sometimes I have to warn them I've cut nursing home out or drop my convictions. I ain't sure, you know. But anyway, I got me a little 45 minute. I woke up and everything was wrong, Brother Brandon. I didn't know what was wrong, but everything was wrong. Like I was dizzy. I didn't have no balance. So I went to church that night. I mean, I was sick to my stomach and I was dizzy. And I told my sister, Lee, take off. Get the service going. I didn't say nothing. I didn't tell my wife. Long about Tuesday, old Mother Hen started picking up on things. She said, what's wrong with you? Well, Monday, I'd figured it out. Sitting in the jail, getting ready to go into my jail ministry, I looked up the wall and I closed that eye and everything in this right eye was black. And I got 20/15 vision. I said, what in the world's going on? It wasn't black, but it was blurry. I said, what in the world? I realized I was dizzy. So I hit it. I thought, well, it'll clear up. I don't know what's going on. 3 days later, they thought I might have had a stroke. So my wife found out about it and that was it. You know, there was no peace. Hallelujah for me. Glory to God. You're going to the emergency room. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Okay. Lord God, they done every test known to man. They treated me like gold. Amen. CAT scans, you know, they got down to the end. And they told me what I already knew. I was in perfect health. Hallelujah. Perfect weight, height, everything. Well, they said, what's so funny? They said I wasn't overweight. I was just a little too short. Hallelujah. I had a good weight. I just need to be taller. About a foot taller. Hallelujah. And they said, he said, preacher, there's something wrong with your eye. He said, you go immediately. He said, I'm telling you, you leave this hospital and you go to this specialist I've hooked you up with. And unbeknownst to me, he hooked me up with a man who teaches the VA center how to give shots in the eye. And eyes. I mean, this guy's a specialist, And I rolled in there and they took literally 1,000 pictures of my eye and scans. And I walked in there and I noticed he brought a needle out. I don't like needles. And he looked at me and said, preacher, you have hismoplasmosis. I said, are you speaking in tongues? You're trying to tell me something. Hallelujah. Either way, we're going to need an interpretation. Hallelujah. Woo! Huh? He said, this being interpreted is, you're going to get a shot in the eyeball. And not just one, but many. And I could have reached out and punched him right in that mouth. He said, you don't talk to me like that. But that wouldn't have fixed anything, Sister Bobby. He was not my enemy. He told me something I didn't want to hear, but he did it because he cared about me. Oh, you thought the preacher was your enemy, didn't you? You missed the whole point. That guy said, he could have said, sir, I got better things to do than come here and hurt your feelings. I'd rather go drink a cup of coffee or something. I'm not here to hurt your feelings. And sometimes we think preachers, their main joy in life is to step on our toes. I got a Class A contractor's license, a master plumber's license. If I wasn't called of God, I wouldn't be a pastor. I got better things to do than to babysit 50 people and change their diapers. Huh? Are you listening to me? And to break up our fights and try to save our marriages. Oh, you say that's ugly. No, I'm not being ugly. I'm letting you see from the other side. And I could have said, you don't talk to me like that. But he was trying to help me, Brother Brandon. And there I rolled over. Next thing you know, I was getting a shot in the eyeball. And many to follow. But I'm glad to report to you tonight that I can close this eye. And I now have 20/15 vision restored to my right eye. Because I rolled over and took the shot in the eye. And I went back. I just left there. I got a $1,500 bill now and I've been paying every month and paying when I go. And I got a $1,500 bill, which compared to a lot ain't much. And he said, preacher, everything's cleared up right now except the scar tissue. He said, I'll see you in a month. No, you won't. Huh? I'll be here. Why? Because he said it could flare back up. We got to watch it. He ain't worried about my $7,500 visit. He's trying to save my eye. He looked at me, Big Mike, and he said, I didn't know if we'd get it back or not, preacher. He said, but I'm just glad to see. And when I rolled over that last time, God helped me the last shot. I didn't even feel a shot go in. No side effects like I normally have. Nothing. I said, thank you, Jesus. He turned around and looked at me. He said, don't let go of that faith, preacher. He said, people of faith always do better. People that have a faith and believe. Come on now. He said, don't let go of that faith. Brother Sam, what are you saying? He said, he's my fellow laborer. He's a soldier with me. He's not fighting against me. He's fighting with me. He's on my team. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need to be on the same team, y'all. Amen. With the pastor and the deacons and the Sunday school teacher and the song leader. And when we're all on the same team, one could put 1,000 to flight. But anybody knows what that God, what happens when you get two? Amen. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And Paul said, I can do a lot for God. He said, but when Epaphroditus is standing by my side, I multiply times 10. Oh, glory to God. I come to tell you, you got a job to do. I said, you got a job to do in this service tonight. I'm going to hurry to a close. Your messenger. He carried my letters to you. But he that ministered to my wants, he carried my letters to you. He brought your offerings to me. Oh, God. Woo, are y'all getting a hold of any of this? Are y'all seeing why I sat in my office and cried like a baby when I read this? I'm limited by chains. I'm limited by the chains. But Epaphroditus, amen, is your messenger. And he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, was full of heaviness. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest that I should have sorrow upon sorrows. And something happened in closing. Something happened. Somehow the church at Philippi lost contact with Paul. No mail, no phone, no internet. No Western Union. They lost contact. And Paul said, he said, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. He was making up for what you weren't doing. And then he tells us later that it wasn't on purpose, but they couldn't find him. And it was an accident, Brother Mike. And he said, no, I know you wanted to. He said, you wanted to help me. No other churches helped me like you have. And now I'm going to bring this to a close. Before I bring this to a close, let me give you this. This tore me sideways too. I was reading a book. Anybody ever heard of Finney? Finney? Charles Finney? Charles Finney is accredited with saving, with preaching and winning over 100,000 souls to Christ just in New York City alone. There are churches all over New York City that were founded by men that were offspring of his ministry. They credit him with over 100,000 souls just in New York City. What most people don't know is that there was a 48-year-old preacher from upstate New York that had never been successful in his ministry by the name of Daniel Nash. And Daniel Nash called Finney one day and got a hold of him, not on the phone, but you know, got to make contact. And he said, I'm going to dedicate my ministry to prayer for your ministry. He resigned his church, Brother Dole. And before Finney ever rolled in, and had the first meeting 2 to 3 weeks before Finney ever rolled in, Daniel Nash would slip into town quietly, rent a room, and go to fasting and praying for revival. They say he very rarely ever darkened the doors during a service. Many times he would leave there and head on to the next place. You never saw him in a service. Oh, Kamashata Mahandaya. Finney rolled into town one night, and she said there was this man that come here, the woman at the motel or whatever it was, said there was a man come here about a week ago, and said he checked in, said he was checking in, and he checked you a room in before, said, now, I've tried to get him to eat, and said, when I opened the door, he's just laying on the floor groaning. I don't know what's wrong with him. Said he's been there for a whole week laying on the floor. Oh, you read Finney's books, didn't you? You heard about the great Finney. Now I'm telling you about Epaphroditus. A man named Daniel Nash that never was much of a pastor, but that man could pray hell away and heaven down. One time,
And they rioted because Finney would preach revival, and Tanya, they would shut the bars down. So not everybody was happy that Finney come to town. So one night they had a big riot. And they, you know what an effigy is? That's like a, they'll make like an image of somebody. You know what I'm saying? Somehow they'll stuff like a scarecrow or something. They'll stuff it, make an image and paint. And so they made two effigies and burn them that night. One of Finney and one of Daniel Nash. They recognized who was shutting the bars down. They recognized who was Amen. Daniel Nash, amen, at 56 years old, amen, laid down, and he wrote one of his last, some of the last words he wrote. He said, my body is in pain, and I am sick. He said, but I am happy in my God. He said, I have just begun to discover what Jesus meant when he said, whatsoever you ask, ask in my name, believing, and you shall receive it. Woo, hallelujah. He died in the winter, amen, that winter, 58 years old, killed himself fasting and praying. Amen. Two things happened. They buried him out in a little cemetery in northern New York. There's a tombstone there right there, and it said this, Daniel Nash, labor with Finney, mighty in prayer. He called my Shataya. Oh, you're going to help me preach here tonight. Amen. Are you willing to be behind the scenes? Are you willing to be used of God in a closet? Or do you have to have the limelight? Do you have to have the attention? Do you have to have a title? Or you're not going to do anything for God? Are you willing, amen, to let whoever gets the glory get it, just as long as the work of God is done? Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach. Amen, you understand what I'm fixing to tell you, amen, when Daniel Nash died, amen, Charles Finney quit traveling. He quit traveling the country and went to a church. He lost Epaphroditus. He said, I'm not going anymore. I've lost my secret weapon. Okay, God, I want to tell you, I've been a Holy Ghost to preach to somebody tonight. You can be the arsenal of machinery that keeps this gear, keeps this church rolling. Amen. You can be the one in the prayer closet. Amen. That causes a demon possessed to be set free. That causes a backslider to come home. That you're going to have to get a burden. You're going to have to lose your selfishness. You're going to have to quit your complaining. Amen. And take action and become something for God. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ is going to last. Now you hear this, if this don't turn you sideways, you're beyond touching. Philippians chapter 4. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that I may abound to your account. Now listen to what Paul said. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The old preacher, bound by the chains in a Roman jail, kicked his heels up on the table and he said, I have all. I don't need nothing. Having received of Epaphroditus the gift you sent me, a sweet smell, an odor well pleasing to God, a sacrifice well pleasing.
Oh, my God.
You listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. I've never seen this in my life, Brother French. You may have seen this, but I've never seen this. How many times have we quoted the scripture, my God shall supply all your needs according to your glory? How many knows there's another word in there? How many knows what the first word? And don't feel embarrassed because I didn't know it either. How many knows there's one more word in that scripture, the first word of that chapter? What is it, Brother Sam? But. I said, well, wait a minute. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went off and I about went to shouting. Paul said, I got everything I need. You blessed me. You sent me an offering. And Paul said, I can't repay you. I have no way to pay you back. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His. Now, if that don't turn you sideways, won't nothing. Woo! Great God, come here, Brother Michael. Lord told me to talk to you. Hey, man, this whole world will never know. One day they'll bury you and they'll forget about you. Hey, man, but I know. You hear me? How many people's been saved in this church and they don't even know the sacrifice you've made? But
I feel the Holy Ghost. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And that includes children that are backslid. That includes children that are lost. That includes grandchildren that you may never see walk down an aisle. But my God's got the record. He come out of Mahakaya. And one of these old days, they're going to walk down an aisle and kneel in an altar. And because God is going to say, I got a score to second God. I got some interest that I owe. Amen, Brother Mike. I got a payment I got to make. Amen. He gave. Amen. Others were saved because of His sacrifice. And now I'm going to do what He couldn't do. I'm going to give the miracle. But, amen, brother, though they may never know. Amen, brother, they may never know. They may never know the sacrifice you made. They may never know the tears you shed. They may never know how you went without. But, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Stand to your feet all over this house tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You still mopping the floors? You still mopping the floors sometimes? You better get after it. You've been slacking off a little bit, ain't you? You're going to tighten up, though, right? Big Mike, you owe a debt to God you'll never repay, son. You ought to be burning hell right now. So instead of chasing fame and fortune, I'll come to ask you tonight, Brother Mike, to be an Epaphroditus. And when you're gone, may your pastor weep tears over you and say, he was a laborer. He was a worker. He never chased the dollar. He lived in a little house. You ought not be here, Brother Jody. You ought be in hell right now. You know that, right? When you leave this old world, let them cry over you and say, man, he didn't have much of this old world's goods, but that man sure loved his church. That man sure would do anything to see a soul get saved. His preacher never worried about him, where he was or what he was doing. You're kind of quiet, ain't you? You don't say a whole lot, do you? Brother, let it be said of you, he was an Epaphroditus. Behind the scenes, tearing down strongholds of the enemy, making the pastor's job easier. All you young ladies, you can chase your own way, your own will, careers and paths and money. Or you can say, God, make me like Epaphroditus. Let me put you first. Do your will first. Be what you want me to be. Oh, some of y'all are under such heavy conviction right now, you can't hardly stand there. You're doing everything you can to get mad at me. But you know I preached you tonight. You ought to be in hell. You ought to be frying right now. And you know what your problem is? You forgot where you come from. You done put yourself way up here and you think you're something. And you ought to be frying in hell. Oh, I love you, brother. I sure was glad to see you tonight. Have you been coming faithful?
Has he, Brother Sam?
All right, I'm checking on you. God love your heart, buddy. They may never know you down in West Virginia. God knows who you are. It's all that matters. Give it your all. Oh, Brother Marvin. God may not have called you back to Mexico. That don't mean you ain't got a call. Everybody can't evangelize. There's so many guys out there now struggling, trying to be evangelists, flopping all around, being a headache to pastors, trying to bug and preach. You don't have to be an evangelist to be successful. You understand that? But you got to have a heart like Epaphroditus. Says, I'll be right down here, God. That's hard, Brother Marvin. We like to be thanked and we like to have a pat on the back, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we don't get that thanks or that pat on the back, or we don't think, may we be like Epaphroditus and give ourselves wholly to the cause of Christ, Brother Doyle. Well, he just plays a banjo. Yeah, but he gets anointed. He plays that music. And the altar call's going on. He sticks with his instrument. And he plays it while the sinners are praying. You want your will or God's will?
Come on.
You better double check and make sure you're in it. Because the devil will wreck you and wrap you around a tree somewhere. And the first thing comes first, girl, is what does God want with my life? Not what does Kristen want. You understand that? I got four people in my church right now in broken marriages. Four. You make sure you're in the will of God. You understand me? You fast, you pray until you got perfect peace about it. I don't know him, don't know a thing about him. I feel the Holy Ghost right now talk to you. God's will's got to be first, and you make sure you. And if you feel that peace and you fast and prayed, then you go with it. But don't you? Oh, God, it's the most important step you'll ever make. I'm dealing with four broken homes in my church right now. Nothing I've done. Some of them I warned. Some of them just coming off the streets. Be careful, Christian. You do understand you're going to stand for God one day, right? You do understand He don't care how much money you got in the bank. He wants to know, did you do my will? Did you raise them babies right? Did you back the pastor? Was you faithful? But Sam ain't told me a word about none of you. If you are Sam, I'm just telling you. When we stand before God, none of this is going to matter. It don't matter how good the preacher does if we're not here to hear it. It don't matter how good the preacher is if we're not here to hear the Word of God. I'm talking to a young lady in my office. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I talked to a young lady in my office, her and her husband having trouble. This is the fifth one. They're still together. And again, most of these I had nothing to do with. It wasn't like, and there's just a bunch of them that's come to me. This one just come in a month ago. And she's sitting there and she said, my father-in-law, she said, every Sunday we go to eat to his house since we've been married for 5 years. And she said, every Sunday without fail, the first thing he done was chewed the preacher up. And she said, then we went from that to talking football. And she said, now my husband's drinking and he thinks he's saved. He's lying and stealing and cheating and he thinks he's saved. And his father-in-law thinks he's saved. He ain't been saved for 20 years. I've known him forever. And for 5 years, she said, all he's done every Sunday is tear the preacher down around a dinner table. And he wonders, now he's crying because he found out his son's drinking. You're the cause of it. Don't be raising your hand saying, pray for my lost child when you gave the pastor fits. I'd be afraid to raise my hand and say, God, please keep my daughter out of drugs. Please help my daughter get away from that drug. I'd be scared to death after the way you've talked about the man of God. And it'd be bad enough if you didn't know better, but you was raised better. You was raised better. And you're going to be held double accountable for it because you knew better. Epaphroditus. A fellow laborer, soldier, worker. I preached it just like this to my church. I love you. Thus saith the Lord, I have heard thy murmurings and thy complainings. Yet I remind thee this night of my servant Moses and a group of men and people that rose up against him. Yea, I opened the earth and I swallowed them. And yea, I say unto thee this night, I will make a memory out of you if you do not humble yourself. I'll make a memory out of your family if you do not humble yourself. I say unto you this night, even as this congregation seen my hand upon Moses, you have seen my hand at work in this house. You have seen the miracles. You have partook of the miracles. And yet you have stretched forth your hand against my anointed. But I say unto you, I will make a memory out of you if you do not humble yourself, saith the Lord. Yata makara mahoya mashakara mahandaya. I want every head bowed and every head closed. This may not be proper, but I feel to do this. I could not help but marvel tonight at Sister Bobby when I seen what she has went through and how she got up and shouted and sang and testified, Brother Sam. And I look at some of you tonight and the blessing of God that's in your life. And yet look how you're acting. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, no one looking around, I don't want everybody just jumping out of your seat and running to this altar. You're here right now and you say, Brother Brent, God spoke to me in this service tonight. And it may not just have been this last message in tongues. It may have been something else that God dealt with you to do or God dealt with you to quit doing. You say, Brother Brent, I'm coming to that altar right now. Oh, I don't want everybody just running up here now. Brother Brent, God spoke to me tonight. Kara mahaka mashakadani mahondoya. I don't know if I was you or not, but I'd jump out of this seat and I'd run to this altar. Maybe you think this message was a joke, or maybe you think I'm a joke, or the message in tongues was a joke. And I'll leave that up to you to find out. But if you believe what God spoke in this service, I'd be jumping out of my seat and run this altar right now. If God's speaking to you. Someone in my church recently was having a little trouble. They ran into a man that had left my church, Brother Sam. He said, I'm having a little trouble, silly stuff. And God's worked it all out, and he ran into a man and left my church. And that man looked him straight in the eye and he said, the worst thing I ever done was left that church. He said, you better stay with Brother Brent. And tonight, his life's in a mess. His marriage is in a mess. And his future's in a mess. All because he didn't want to submit to authority. All because he didn't want nobody telling him what to do. And he told that man in my church the worst thing I ever done. Will that be you? I want every head still bowed, no looking around, please. I'm giving you an altar call tonight. Your soul's hanging in the balance tonight. You're going to humble yourself and come? God wants to use you. You do have a talent this church needs. You do have a call on your life. The only problem is you forgot whose it was. It's God's call. I'm going to be your man. I got to do what you want me to do. I want everybody still praying. I'm going to tarry just a moment longer. I got to tarry here tonight. Because I may be giving somebody their last call before God deals with you. Keep praying, saints. Amen. I wanted to be encouraging in this message tonight, and I hope I have. That God's going to supply all your needs. You've gave, you've labored, you've worked, you've sacrificed. But here at the end, God's turned it back this direction. God wants you. God needs you. But you got to come on His terms. Somebody better break down right now. Come on, don't let pride hold you back. Don't let somebody say, oh, what's he done? What's she done? Don't let that bother you. What's Brother Brent know? Quit worrying about that stuff and believe that God can speak. Step out of your seat. Come to this altar tonight. Let God help you. I'm telling you, I love you tonight. I love every last one of you. I want every last one of you to succeed. I want God to use you. I called some out tonight. I spoke to them and immediately your mind raced. Oh, what's he saying? You're thinking too much. Just know that God can speak to you. Just know that God can talk to you. And be thankful that God loves you enough to talk to you. I'm fixing to close. I'm not going to stand up here all night. I got 1,200 miles to drive home. I'm fixing to close. If you don't think it's just serious enough to come, then I'm not going to waste no more time on this service with you. But if you care about your soul tonight, if you even thought God was speaking to you, I'd run to this altar. I'd humble myself. Brother John Gabbert told me change was coming in my life. I said, God, where is it? What is it? I didn't say, no, it's not. I didn't say, you're not talking to me. I said, God, what are you telling me? Am I going to have to go back on the road? What have I got to do? I didn't want to leave Martinsburg. I didn't want to leave the work I've worked. But Silas, it wasn't up for discussion. If that's what God was saying, I was ready to do it. And you better get ready tonight. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, one more time, I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to help somebody here tonight, God. God, it's not one, it's not two, but there's three or four or five more tonight here that's holding out. You brought them out of the miry clay of sin. They should be in hell tonight. And God, they're living life like you never done a thing for them. God, they're living their life like you owe them something. God, they're living their life daring the preacher to cross them. And God, you've had enough. You are fixing to do what you've done throughout all history. When you've had enough, you send your judgment. God, you didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. God, you didn't spare the others that rebelled against your word. You didn't spare Korah. And God, you're not going to spare. God, I don't like to preach and tell and pray, but God, I'm asking you somehow to speak one more time. Draw one more time in the name of Jesus. God, I'll give you the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Step out of that seat right now. I'd run to this altar. I'd run to this altar. All right. Let's all come.